Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
I want to ask Eddie Garcia's thoughts on the Tom Wilson situation, because I am fascinated by this. There is major outrage when it comes to that. We do want to hand out, though, if we can, just some hangover tips. There are some of you out there that went a little bit hard for Cinco de Mayo. We didn't really have Cinco de Mayo last year because I don't know if anybody noticed the country was shut down. So in a lot of places, Cinco de Mayo is a big deal. In a lot of places, meaning everywhere outside of Mexico, because Roberto, it's September 16th is Mexican Independence Day, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and so you frauds out there, and my wife is Mexican, so therefore I am half Mexican. Some would call me a Nox. Listen, say they call me a Noxican. What do you want from me, Roberto? But nonetheless, there are people that it went a little bit hard. They celebrated. They got after it a little bit. Roberto, you got any hangover tips for them? Because they're nursing something this morning.
Well, the number one thing to do is go get some menudo. Anybody had menudo before?
I've had menudo.
You had menudo, Jeff?
I don't think so.
Mexican, it's a tripe. Tripes, beef tripe.
I have not had that. No.
Oh, that's.
I promise you, I have not had.
It soaks up all the poison.
You mean there's not a menudo restaurant in Charlotte? What do you mean, Jeff? What's going on?
Unfortunately, I was thinking about that this morning. Like, how do I cure a hangover I don't have? I'm gonna go get some beef stomach. So. I didn't have that.
All right. So you go with menudo. That's tip number one to cure
that's
the hangover.
That's the number one Mexican cure for the hangover. I mean, they sell this thing every weekend on local Mexican restaurants, whatever, or taco shops sell the menudo basically because on the weekends only, because they know people go get it on the weekends that they're hungover.
Well, so listening right now here across the country on Fox Sports Radio, here's the tip from Roberto. Tip number one to cure your Cinco de Mayo hangover, go get menudo. And if you are in a place of the country where you don't have menudo,
you're screwed.
Tough balls.
Tough balls.
Look at it online and hope that works. You can get it through osmosis.
I just looked at it online. And it didn't make me feel any better.
It works.
I was curious whether or not you had the first or second stomach of the cow. Depends on which beef tripe you're getting, the first or second
stuff. It's the best. My mom would get all of the there's like three different beef the cuts of the tripe.
I'm glad you had all of them. I was concerned. You only had one.
They're awesome.
Yeah, like you got a little bit greedy there, right? We want every part of it.
The honeycomb. The honeycomb's the best.
Oh, God. That's just brutal. All right. So that is tip number one from Roberto here post Cinco de Mayo. We will sprinkle in one or two more of those throughout the course of the show. By the way, Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio is brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Little menudo there, Jeff Schwartz.
Danny was like, "Yeah, you never had it before. It soaks up all the poison." I was like, "What? No, I've never had it before. No, I haven't, Danny. No, I haven't."
It's not much to look at, but it's good eating.
I think so.
There is a lot of Mexicans that don't like it, though. So
we were flying
That's
back.
Racist.
From, yeah, I know.
We were flying back from New Orleans after playing the Saints, and one of our flight attendants had gotten food for the team, and they had the chitlins, and I think they might have had beef tripe too, and like on the airplane, and some of the players were killing it, and I looked at it and like, I'm open to trying anything, like I'm sure I would try if I was at your house and your mom made it for me, I would give it a try.
Yeah.
Give it a try, because I feel that I give everything a try. But I saw it on the airplane in like the container, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna pass on that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pass on those because Or on an airplane. I'm not mentally in the right space to have intestines at the moment.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I've seen it. But I've seen it up close and personal. I just couldn't do it on that flight. Can we get something that, like, the normal folk can have for hangovers, please?
Yeah, listen, that's just one of many. Like, Roberto, cooking with Roberto is a big deal, and we have more of those. So
how have I never heard about this? Is there an Instagram?
It's on the Ben Maller Show, yeah.
Yeah, listen, cooking with Roberto, man.
That's right.
It's big time. You know, by the way,
I should have that recipe on my Twitter for menudo. So
you should, yeah, you should do a post Cinco de Mayo tips. You know,
the best menudo is when there's foot in there too. The best.
Oh God! All right, that's enough. Okay,
let's move on to something. Anything else?
Yeah, can we move on to a kinder subject? Eddie Garcia, a Fox Sports Radio legend. He is also our NHL insider here at Fox Sports Radio. Eddie, let's move on to a kinder topic, if we could. Tom Wilson, who apparently is the most hated man in the history of the NHL. What the hell happened? How did we end up with 100 penalty minutes in that game in the NHL? Can you summarize what is going on with Tom Wilson and the outrage?
Well, for those who don't follow hockey, I would say he's the Vontaze Burfict of the NHL.
That might be nice.
He's a talented player, but he also seems to not be able to control himself. He's always in the middle of some controversy. He's been suspended 5 times in the last 5 years. He got suspended 7 games earlier this year. He's had a 20-game suspension in his career. So he's always playing on the line, and he steps over it on occasion. And he did it the other night on Monday against the Rangers, roughed up a couple of their players. And so they thought the NHL would suspend him. I think everybody did. And they hit him with a $5,000 fine, which he literally makes in, like, you know, 30 seconds on the ice.
Great.
And so the Rangers were pissed. So they took matters in their own hands last night, and they, right on the opening faceoff, 3 of their forwards, they dropped the gloves, and Wilson got in a fight a little bit later, and yeah, it was old time hockey.
If you wear your socks the wrong way in the NFL, they fine you $5,000.
Yeah.
Look, and here's, I seen some people on social media who are like, man, this is such a bad look for the NHL. Let me tell you something. The lack of punishment was a bad look, but Eddie, those fights to start off the game were awesome. That was awesome. Like that's the NHL a lot of people grew up with. Big fan.
It's getting a lot of attention today, that's for sure. We're talking about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Coming up in, we will call it a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio, about 15 minutes from now, rather, somebody who's probably going to feel guilty for the rest of their life in the world of sports. There's major guilt that will be felt. We will get that here coming up in about 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. Jeff Schwartz, I don't know if you happen to see this report out, but Jeff Howe of The Athletic reported that the New Orleans Saints were trying to find a way to trade up ahead of the New England Patriots to take Mac Jones. That the Saints were big on Mac Jones out of Alabama.
It seemed as the Saints were trading up to get Pat Mahomes, too. I mean, it's weird how they just happen to be in all these quarterbacks but just never get them, right? I mean, so it's always impressive.
Jimmy Garoppolo as well, too. Garoppolo is the other one.
Yeah, they're just like, they're always in all these quarterbacks. Just can never get them, right? Just never get them. It's just the worst. I mean, look, I heard they like Mac Jones, but this is one of those things, again, we're like, same as when the Chiefs drafted Pat Mahomes. We wanted Pat Mahomes too, everyone. We wanted him, but we just couldn't get him. Oh, shucks us. I did hear that they wanted Mac Jones as well, but guess what? If you want to trade up, Minnesota would have taken your offer because they traded back, right? Like, they would have done it if they wanted to, right? Because the Jets trade up to 14 for Elijah Vera Tucker. If you wanted to move up, you could have done it, right? You could have done it.
All right, you were skeptical on the New Orleans Saints and these shenanigans.
I'm just skeptical on the idea that they couldn't do it. Oh, shucks. We just couldn't do it, guys. You could have done it if you wanted to. If you wanted Mac Jones that badly, you could have done it, right? You could have moved to 12. You could have moved to, like, Dallas was probably open to moving back out of 12 too. You could have done it if you wanted to. And they didn't. It's okay. I mean, they haven't drafted a first round quarterback since like 1972 or something. But they just didn't do it. It happens. But it's a CYA move to basically let their fans know that they're trying.
Well, it's we've got five quarterbacks that went in the first round of the draft. And when it comes to the starting starting week one odds, obviously Trevor Lawrence is going to start. Zach Wilson is going to start for the New York Jets. And then we get to the other three quarterbacks that went in the first round. And we have odds out on who is going to be a starter week one. In San Francisco, Trey Lance is the quarterback that the 49ers drafted, and Jimmy Garoppolo is still the heavy favorite to start week one for the 49ers. He is sitting at nearly a 3-1 favorite. The line has come down a little bit from where it was at previously, but nonetheless, as of right now, it looks like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starter and not Trey Lance week one for the Niners.
Yeah, that was interesting because the conventional wisdom, I think, says that, oh, they'll do the Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes route. But if Trey Lance is that good early on, I mean, I think they're going to play him, right? I mean, I think Trey Lance's rookie of the year odds are pretty good. They're like plus 800 because he's going to be in the best situation with that offense, with how Shanahan has always done well with quarterbacks. Now you have a super talented Trey Lance. I get it. Hasn't played a lot, isn't very experienced. But I think it's really hard for the Alex Smith plan, like to just not have him play the entire year until week 17, a garbage time game. It's pretty tough to me. I think Lance plays earlier than we think. As far as the other guys, I mean, Fields is my opinion, is a day one starter. I mean, I know you have Dalton there, but I think you trade up for him. You got to play him right now. And they're in win now mode too, right? Drafting him and having him sit for a while behind Dalton and going 2-7 to start the season isn't even 4-4 or whatever, like you're not saving your job that way, right? I mean, Mac Jones and Cam Newton, it's pretty interesting because Belichick will install, or Josh McDaniels will install, the same base offense for both those guys, right? Now, obviously, there's a lot of the running plays designed for Cam Newton in the play action pass off those, which Mac Jones will not be doing. So to put Mac Jones in there, you'd almost have to change, you know, a big part of your offense. And I don't think they're going to do that right now. Okay, that feels – it feels like Mac Jones, out of all those guys, doesn't play right away.
He's the biggest long shot out of all of them. Cam Newton is the starter. And it's all – look, and you mentioned the job security issue. The one guy who doesn't have job security issues is Bill Belichick. So it's not like he's going to be forced to play Mac Jones to be like, hey, look, but we've got the future here. And if you trust me, I can deliver you the goods with this young quarterback we just drafted. So that one feels like it's right. The biggest long shot is Mac Jones to start week one of these other three quarterbacks in the first round of the draft.
I mean, I think there's, you know, day one is interesting. I think Trey Lance could be, you know, start week 3 or 4. But I think if we're doing day one odds, it's Lawrence, Wilson, Fields feel very likely to go. They'll be the three guys who start right away. Obviously, Lawrence and Wilson will definitely start right away.
The 49ers, this is the one thing that I do think is interesting. We've seen this before. You remember back in 2016, the Philadelphia Eagles moved up and they drafted Carson Wentz. And that was after they, I believe, paid Sam Bradford. So Sam Bradford was the starting quarterback. And the thought was, well, Sam's a starting quarterback. Carson Wentz is definitely the guy of the future. Before the season started, Sam Bradford was gone. And they they just went with Carson Wentz. And look, a lot of that was Sam Bradford was not happy they drafted a quarterback after he signed the deal with Philadelphia. And also, I believe, and I don't know if the timeline is 100% correct on this, but was that after the Teddy Bridgewater injury in Minnesota?
So what happened was Bridgewater gets hurt, right? The Vikings are think they're a playoff team. And then they ended up making the playoffs that year. So Bradford was traded before week one started to the Vikings, and Carson Wentz got to play. But, you know, we're in a little different situation because when that happened, you had a full offseason program, right? You had a full training camp. You had a full preseason. And you're able to evaluate quarterbacks a little differently. You know, there's talk about the rookie class not going to offseason workouts. Like, the PA is like, you're not going. Now, they might listen. They might not listen. So, you know, you might not even get, Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance even in the building at the same time till training camp. And then you have a situation where, you have three preseason games now. and less, and maybe, you know, training camp the first 5 days aren't even in pads, and there's less practice time. Like, you just, you don't get the same evaluation options that you do or you did in 2017 when that trade was made.
See, I also look at the Bears situation with Dalton and Justin Fields, and I believe Dalton's going to be the starter week one, but I think this isn't – and the Bears have said this because Matt Nagy was in Kansas City with the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes year in 2017. And so they've said, you know, perfect scenario – Andy Dalton plays the entire season, and it plays out exactly like it was in 2017. Well, here a couple of differences here. Number one, Andy Reid wasn't on the hot seat. And yes, number two, Alex Smith was awesome, and I hope that people don't forget how great he was for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he was part of what helped turn that organization around. They were a disaster. You and I have talked about this before, your brother being a former Chief. They were a disaster. And Andy Reid got there. Alex Smith got there. They totally stabilized and completely reversed course for the organization.
That was my year, 2013, with the Chiefs. I was there for that. Yeah.
He was fantastic. He's exactly what the organization needed. But it was like, look, Alex Smith is playing really good football. There was MVP conversations being had about Alex Smith because he was that good that year. And Andy Reid wasn't on the hot seat. This is completely different. Trey Lance is – I would love to see if there's an over-under on what week he gets in, because I don't think it'll be week one. But at some point, they're going to look around and go – man, we need something. We need to show something for this fan base, because the boos are going to get loud, and they're already impatient there, and they're going to get more impatient if he's standing on the sideline all year.
Yeah, and again, I want to go back to the evaluation part of this, because, you know, with Pat Mahomes, Alex Smith, there was never evaluation. Alex Smith took all the one reps, and Pat Mahomes took all the two reps. There was never a chance they were playing. But if you're preparing for the season now, and you have the training camp schedule you have now, you walk a really fine line between we need to prepare for the season with our starting quarterback, and we have to have a quarterback competition. There aren't enough reps to go around for that much anymore. You know, when we had double days, right? There's tons of reps. I'm not saying we should ever go back to that, but there's an evaluation process that happens where you have so many reps in practice that you can split them up between two starting quarterbacks. Now, with the way practices are scheduled, there's less reps, right? There's more, you know, there's more worry about the body and recovery and stuff. You know, if you're Dalton and you're Fields and you're Matt Nagy, you probably don't have the luxury of rotating reps with the ones, because you don't have enough reps to get a quarterback ready, right for the season. Yep. And so you have to choose early on who my starter is going to be. Like, is it Fields or Dalton? Because that player needs to work with the ones to get ready to play week one. And that decision is typically made kind of in the first 2 weeks of training camp, where, you know, you might be able to split reps early on. But after that, you know, especially if Fields is the guy, he needs to work with the ones. He needs to work with as many times as he can with Allen Robinson. He needs to work with as many times as he can with the offensive line, with Cole Kmet, the tight end. Like, he needs to work with these guys as much as possible. And so you can't do a thing where you have 8 reps a period in practice and 4 go to Dalton and 4 go to Fields with the ones. Someone needs to take all 8 of those reps. And that's the decision that he has to make early on in training camp if you're Matt Nagy and the Bears.
I mean, and look, let's not forget about the dark horse in the building. Nick Foles is still a Chicago Bear. I'm just saying.
That doesn't matter.
I'm just saying. Nick Foles...
We understand that was like 8 years ago when he won that Super Bowl.
So I'm just letting you know, Nick Foles is there, and we've seen crazier things happen. Also, that coaching staff, Matt Nagy has shown the, I don't want to say ability, but he has shown that he will make a move if it's going to benefit him, or if he feels like it's going to get some of the heat off him. He fired a bunch of assistant coaches after they had a down year. Some of those firings were very questionable. Harry Heistand of it's Heistand or it's Heistand. He was a former Notre Dame. That was a puzzling move. A lot of people looked at that and said, why is he the problem? That doesn't seem to make sense to me. But that was, you know, he went out, he fired him. Mark Helfrich was on the coaching staff. A lot of people looked at that and said, that seems a little odd. It almost was like he he was trying to say these were the problems and it wasn't me. And then when it came to the Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles situation, I had heard from somebody who was at training camp that said Mitch Trubisky outplayed Nick Foles the entire training camp. But they were waiting and waiting and waiting to name Trubisky the starter week one this past season because they were doing everything they possibly could to try and get Nick Foles that job. And that's why they pulled Trubisky so quick into the season and put in Nick Foles. I think Fields is getting in. I just wonder when it's going to be. That's my big question.
I know we have to get to Eddie, but here's my last concern on this is Matt Nagy did not do a good enough job of adapting his game plan to help Trubisky.
100%. Right?
Like Trubisky is, you know, more of, you know, they need to kind of adopt a more college-esque game plan, right? 100%. One or two reads, play action pass, zone read, use Trubisky's legs. And I get why coaches don't want to do that, right? He is a West Coast offense guy. His offense, in theory, should work with any quarterback. It shouldn't be a problem. Like, I get why he didn't adapt his offense. I get it. But he should have tried to do it. Maybe Trubisky couldn't even do the other offense he wanted to run. But, you know, my thing with Fields is that obviously Fields has the same ability to use his legs. Now, he did not use his legs very often at Ohio State. He was not a guy that ran as much as I think people thought he would at Ohio State. So I'm curious if Nagy's going to be stubborn with, hey, I need Fields to run this offense, or whether or not he'll be a little bit more you know, open to doing different things and using the athleticism that Fields has to do some fun things in the offense. Again, Fields did not run very much in college. So he's not, you know, I think people assume because he's an athlete that they ran this. No, he ran a pro-style offense in college. But he can move. He's very fast and he's very athletic.
He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we do have somebody who is probably going to feel very, very guilty for the next several years. We'll have that for you here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Eddie, real quick, before we get to break here, who's more disliked at their peak? Tom Wilson or Matt Cook?
I'm going to say Matt Cook because he played for the Penguins.
Oh, come on, Eddie.
I know. You're a Penguins fan. A lot of people don't like them, though. You know that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, but then also I think a lot of people celebrated Evander Kane knocking Matt Cook out cold, which is one of the cleanest right hands, if you remember that. He was out cold on the ice. Scary when they got into a little bit of a scrap. So
yeah, I think the only guy that could probably do that to Tom Wilson would be Ryan Reeves in Vegas. I think he might be able to take him out.
So is Wilson's that good of a fighter, huh?
He's a big guy and he's a tough guy. So, I mean, I don't know that anyone in the league are great fighters anymore because that's just, you know, that's being taken out of the game, but there are still a few guys who are big and powerful.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Jeff Schwartz, hour three. How you feeling, man, on a Thursday? What's happening?
I'm good. I'm on the second coffee already, so that's a good. I got to fly after this, so I'm looking forward to. Are you a plane sleeper?
Sometimes, you know what it is. If I'm on a plane, I bring one of those neck pillows, just because I don't want to wake up with, you know, trying to lean, you know, my head on the window, and then next thing you know, I got a neck issue the entire time I'm on vacation or wherever I go. So I have one of those neck pillows. I can get, if I'm sleeping good, an hour and a half to 2 hours. Nothing more than that. I can't sleep for an extended period of time.
I flew back from LA last week on Sunday, and the guy next to me slept for the entire flight.
I was very jealous. Oh, yeah.
But then he's not going to sleep at night, though. That's the thing, right? Like, you kind of have to choose. Are you a day sleeper or are you a night sleeper? I don't sleep at all. I'm tired. We went an entire year without flying, basically, right? And now I've flown. This is like, I already have like 28,000 miles flown in the last like month, basically. I'm just tired of flying, but I'm hopping on a flight again. I'm out of movies to watch. Maybe I'll like read or something. Do something like.
So where are you going this time? If you don't mind me asking,
I'm going to Dallas. Okay. I'm going to Dallas. I think we're doing a show next week together. Yes. I'll be doing that from Dallas as well.
All right.
My buddy had surgery. He had unfortunately he tore both his quad tendons.
Jesus.
And his patella and his other knee, and he's 280 pounds. Not a lot of people that can help him like get do things, like lift him in and out of his wheelchair and stuff like that. So I'm going out to help him a little bit.
So he pulled the Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon did this same injury. He ran into the ring as part of a bit during WWE, and when he jumped into the ring, he tore both quads, and he tried to stand up and fell down immediately. And then he realized, and the wrestlers that were in the ring were looking at him going, why are you yelling at us from the ground? They didn't get it, but he didn't want to break character, and it turned out he tore both quads sliding into the ring. It's yep. terrible.
That's awful. So yeah, so I'm going back to Dallas to help him a little bit with that. And yeah, man, I was in LA for draft stuff. Then I go back to LA with my family. I calculated that in the month of May I'll have 8 nights at home.
Huh?
I'm just not used to traveling anymore. Like this is what I used to do right before COVID, and now I travel all the time for work and vacations. And now it's different. We're back traveling again.
Yeah, no, it is different. There's also a speaking of different, there's a different feel in Green Bay when it comes to the Packers right now. We talked about this earlier, the situation with Aaron Rodgers, and what is going on there. Reports came out yesterday. He was on a group chain ripping into his GM. There was another report that he told free agents and other players, you know, I'm not going to be there in Green Bay, so don't sign here. And then Adam Schefter of ESPN had this that he sent out earlier. Quote, the Green Bay Packers have begun exploring quarterbacks they can add to their roster for OTAs and training camp per sources. Jordan Love currently is the only other quarterback on the roster, but the team also faces uncertainty surrounding Aaron Rodgers, so the Packers quarterback search includes some veterans. So there's that.
And it's interesting. We spent a little bit of time last hour talking about how the players don't plan to show up this offseason. The coaches act like they're showing up. Like the coaches are like talking about OTAs. They're talking about rookies coming in. And they're talking about all this stuff. Like the players probably aren't showing up at all. Like you better get used to that, coaches. And again, excuse the coaches, right? I mean, they have no say. They have no union. They have no say in what we do or what we don't do. But players ain't showing up. You might talk about wanting to do OTAs. It's not happening.
Yeah, it's and look, I do think if we're gonna do that, and this has been my feeling on this stuff when it comes to the quarterbacks that have been unhappy with their team and have wanted to be dealt from their team. We saw it with Deshaun Watson. Now, obviously, he's got other issues right now. He's got to get figured out, and they'll get sorted out. But we saw it with Deshaun Watson. I didn't buy into the Houston Texans were the worst-run organization in the world. He signed the contract after they traded DeAndre Hopkins. I didn't buy that stuff, that he was, you know, really so upset about it. Yet he went and signed the contract anyways. He was in tears thanking Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby and some of these others that have been vilified by many people in the media. So I didn't buy all that. I also, Russell Wilson's handling of his situation in which he basically called out the offensive line and they went public with some of their displeasure. I wasn't a big fan of that. And for as much as we can pretend like, well, the Green Bay Packers haven't surrounded Aaron Rodgers with anything. They drafted his replacement, but they didn't draft any weapons, blah, 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 blah. Jeff, call me crazy. I just don't see the Green Bay Packers as having the worst roster in the world. Like, Aaron Rodgers is the only thing there. I mean, Bakhtiari, they drafted him, correct?
Yeah, he's a fourth round. I mean, I think Rodgers is upset that they haven't explicitly drafted a wide receiver just for him. Like, I mean, in the first round.
But it's like they've been to the NFC title game 2 years in a row. Since he's been there, they have how many NFC title games? Five? And he's won one.
Yeah, and I think you look at the Chiefs, right? And the Chiefs had an issued offensive line, and they needed help Mahomes. And guess what they did? They added 500 offensive linemen. I mean, they might add 2,000 pounds of offensive linemen this offseason, right? If you include Orlando Brown, Creed Humphreys, Trey Smith, Kyle Long, Austin Blythe, and, they added Mike Remmers back to the roster as a free. Like, that might be 2,000 pounds. It might be more, 2,000 pounds of offensive linemen. He sees Seattle, right? Russell Wilson complaining about working conditions there. And they added offensive linemen, right? They traded for Gabe Jackson. They drafted a Stone Forsythe in the fifth round. Sixth round, I should say, that it's a pretty big drop. I mean, most people had him second or third round. So you see they drafted a wide receiver in the second round for him, right? Eskridge, a kid from Western Michigan. So he sees all these people, you know, Tom Brady, you know, they, oh, Antonio Brown, oh, sure, we'll sign him, right? Gronk, oh, yeah, heck yeah, we'll bring him on board. So we see other teams go out of their way, it feels like, to get head quarterback, and the Packers just haven't. And whether that's because they just go off their draft board, right? If Savage is the 30th, which they drafted, then we'll take him 30th. So I think that's where his anger lies. And again, the trade-up for Jordan Love last year was stupid. No need for it. It's not going to pan out. And the coach drafted wide receiver. But everything else I think they've done is to help him, right? Help bolster defense. Help bring in some guys on offense. I think it's not as dire as he would make it out to be.
Right. Yeah, and that's the other part. And look, if we're going to be fair about this, because people can be upset with their handling of things. Brian Gutekunst has said, I probably could have been communicated better with Aaron Rodgers in certain things. Matt LaFleur is just caught in the middle. He's just caught in the middle trying to figure out what is actually happening with this star quarterback and what they're going to do moving forward. And so you can place blame on the Green Bay Packers, but I also don't think that Rodgers is blameless in all of this, because he does feel like he's overly sensitive to the issue. And then there's the other aspect of him not being happy with what has gone on there, and him not being happy with the fact that they haven't surrounded him with enough talent. Yet a report comes out that he's telling other players, don't sign here because I'm not going to be there for long. So you're mad at the organization because you feel like they've sabotaged the end of your career. Yet you're sabotaging the end of your career by telling people not to sign there when you really don't have the control and they have all the leverage. Like it doesn't make sense. I just don't think that Rodgers is blameless in all of this, and he deserves some of the heat on this when it comes to this situation.
Well, my thing too is like, who were they going to sign that like looked at Rodgers and it's like, oh, now I'm not going to sign.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, and you can say all this stuff all you want, but again, the Packers kind of hold the keys here, right? Now, you can say that they should rip the Band-Aid off, trade him, and move on. They don't have to do that. You don't have to do it, right? I mean, you could wait it out. Now, the Packers fall into an issue if, you know, the first month of the season with a team that's talented enough to make the NFC Championship game, you know, Jordan Love starts and they go 0-4, and you're like, oh, Aaron, please come back. But what would solve all of this is a contract extension with guaranteed money. And Rodgers has basically explicitly said that, right? If you give me some money to show that you support me, it's the same with Carson Wentz, right? Carson Wentz said the same thing. He had just gotten a deal. But, you know, basically, like, they drafted Jalen Hurts. It's like, you don't believe in me anymore. And the way you make that clear is money. Now, Carson Wentz had just been paid, so it's really silly for Carson Wentz to feel that way. But Aaron Rodgers off an MVP year. And remember, Tom Brady dealt with the same thing in New England. Wanted more guaranteed money. If the Packers were to say, hey, we'll give you guaranteed money for the next 2 years, then I think this would solve a lot of it. And they would just go back to working with each other.
And there was a – and look, I don't think – I don't know if that's going to happen. And I only say that because of this. I feel like the issue with them – is, and this goes back to them, you know, getting rid of his quarterback coach, getting rid of Jay Kumerow, and just some other things that they've done. It feels like they've tried to take some of the influence and control away from Aaron Rodgers since Brian Gutekunst has got there. Because there was a story that came out when Mike McCarthy was fired and they hired Matt LaFleur. I heard they didn't talk to Rodgers at all about that hiring. Rodgers didn't know they were hiring LaFleur. They knew that they'd interviewed him, but LaFleur was simply their decision. And there was some stuff that came out that they talked to Aaron Rodgers and said, hey, no more of this complaining or being passive aggressive about how he was behaving when it came to his relationship with Mike McCarthy. No more of that stuff. Now, the Packers denied it afterwards. Oh, we never said anything from that. But I believe it was Tyler Dunn who had the article, I think, for Bleacher Report, who said that specifically, that they told Rodgers, hey, cut that crap out. The passive aggressive stuff, cut it out. It feels like they've also grown a little bit tired of great player, all-time talent at the position. But, man, there is a little bit of diva that comes along with him. I mean, there's some stuff there. The passive aggressiveness, the aloofness. Like, there, some of that stuff is there, and it feels like they've also gotten tired of it. And that's why I don't think they're going to offer more money. I think ultimately he ends up somewhere else. How they play this, I just don't see them caving, and I don't see them setting a tone that, hey, if you complain long enough with this organization and this regime, we're going to reward you and grant you with whatever it is that you want. I think they're going to play hardball here. I really do.
Right, and the stalemate's not – I mean, look, I don't think anyone wins in a stalemate, right? I mean, Rodgers might have to retire, and
agreed.
I don't want to see that. And
yep.
The Packers might get stuck with a worse quarterback, but it does feel like they're not going to give in, right? I mean, and you know, I do wonder how much pressure is from the NFL, because I'm sure the NFL and the other owners are like, why, you know, like, don't give in to him. Don't give in to him. Don't give in to him.
Totally agree.
And again, we've talked about, like, the possible trade candidates are – part of the issue. Like, Denver obviously is one, but you know, how much will that trade compensation take, right, to get him there, which is important. And that's it. Like, again, Vegas, I don't see that Gruden and him getting along very well.
It'd be so much fun to watch, though. God, that'd be fun.
I mean, as a Chiefs fan, it would be fun, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, him and Gruden in the same building together. Yeah, and look, I think NFL owners recognize if you start going down this road and you just start rewarding players every time they complain about a situation, like Seattle didn't cave to Russell Wilson. There were conversations.
Russell Wilson a couple years ago was like, I'm not coming back till you make a deal, and he gave him a deal. I mean, they have caved. It's just not to the extreme that it feels like Rodgers is asking the Packers to cave.
Yes, and I think that I remember this a long time. Remember Tommy Kelly? Tommy Kelly was a defensive tackle, interior defensive lineman for the Raiders years and years and years ago. And I remember hearing this from somebody that when the Raiders signed him to his deal, they paid him an astronomical amount at the time for. He was a good defensive tackle, but he wasn't like this all-time Aaron Donald type player. And other owners around the league were pissed off at Al Davis,
yeah,
because you'd now just reset the market. So when it wasn't necessary, you could have paid him a certain amount that was much less than that, and he would have been happy with it. But you overspent and you overpaid him. And so other owners around the league, because they look at this as a true partnership, they're all in this together, they were bothered by it. So to your point, I do think that other owners around the league are looking at this going, hey, man, don't cave. Because now our quarterback, if he doesn't like what's going on, is going to pull the same crap. And somebody somewhere is going to pull the same crap. If you cave to him and you give in and give him everything you want, that just sets a tone for everybody else in the league.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, a big part of what the Packers may or may not do here. But in the end, they have to make a decision that's best for themselves, right? And, you know, we're seeing more, you know, kind of player empowerment in the NFL, right? Players using their power they have. We obviously have a different structure than the NFL does, I'm assuming the NBA does, as far as what players, you know, can, how they can wield their power. And we're seeing, you know, Rodgers or Russell Wilson, look, Deshaun Watson wanted out of Houston too, right? I mean, we're seeing players say like, hey, I've had enough with what's happening right now. And again, we've yet to see a team completely cave. I don't think, to your point, you said, I don't think Deshaun Watson was going anywhere.
No,
before the allegation surfaced.
I don't know. And
so, you know, NFL teams don't have to do anything, don't have to trade you. But we're seeing more players try to exercise a lot of those options that they have.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We are going to get into a little bit of an issue that that Jeff is having with members of the show here. There's a feud going on. Jeff is dancing on the grave of members of the show here, and I think it's a bit much. But again, he likes to enjoying the misery of some others here on the program and back behind the scenes, and I think it needs to be discussed. Jeff, you're really dancing on the graves. waves here. Unbelievable.
I mean, you know, when you're supposed to win 125 games in a baseball season and you only and you're 17 and 15.
It's April. It's actually May.
Jeff, I would like to welcome you and the Giants back to Major League Baseball. Yeah, exactly. You've been hibernating for a couple of years.
You know what? Let's not wait any longer.
With their minor league team that they have there.
Title in the last 32 years. You know, the Dodgers now.
Here we go.
Talking.
Well, it took the Giants 56 years to win in San Francisco.
Let's not even wait. Let's just address the issue now. It has been brewing. It has been simmering. It is boiling and spilling over the top now. Jeff Schwartz is enjoying the unraveling of the LA Dodgers. Now, many people listening on the blowtorch of Fox Sports Radio, the great AM 570 LA Sports, the home of the Dodgers, they heard the Dodgers lose another extra innings tough one in Chicago to the Cubs. And so, Jeff Schwartz, you feel like it feels like there's a little bit more energy and a little more wind in your sails every time the Dodgers lose for some reason.
I think I heard Eric Gagne is making a comeback to help the bullpen out.
Did Buster Posey break his ankle again, or is he back?
Wow, jeez.
He ruined the most exciting play in baseball. Yeah, they know how to block the plate there. Mike Socha never broke his ankle, by the way.
Posey might be the MVP of the league right now. It's like he's batting like 350 with like six home runs.
That's why
of the best team in the National League.
Jeff, if this was the equivalent to the NFL season, the Giants would be 2-0.
Yeah,
and the Dodgers would be 1-1. So let's just kind of pump our brakes a little bit.
No. We're supposed to win like 72 games this year. And I don't even know half our roster.
If you look at the Dodgers' record at the beginning of last season, it's not much different than the record right now. Obviously, they have struggles right now. They didn't have last season, but it's so early, and they're going to get injured players back. They haven't even had Bellinger this entire time.
Hey, what's up, Mookie Betts?
He's struggling. It feels like all the pitchers. Just pound him on the inside the first couple of pitches and then go outside and he starts chasing.
Is Mookie Betts healthy? Is he healthy? It seems like he's banged up.
Yeah, he was on the he missed a few games because of a back injury. I think he's got a back injury, but he's
no excuses, Mook. Get it together.
Yeah, I mean,
look, you guys are already turning on your stars.
Look at that, right there.
One month into the season.
I just don't carry water. I'm not making excuses. They got to play better. I mean, you're in close games. You got to move the runners over.
Your bullpen's atrocious.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like when they started the season 13-2, Rob Manfred had a Zoom conference call with the whole team. And he's like, all right, guys, you can't just run away with the NL West again. I need guys like Jeff Schwartz to have some interest in baseball this season. So he said, Mook, I want you and Rios to slump. Seager, I want your defense to suck all of a sudden. And Roberts, you just keep doing the same thing you always do.
By the way, Danny may not carry water or ball wash the LA Dodgers here on AM 570 LA Sports and Fox Sports Radio because that job that belongs to Roberto, who I've never seen.
He just wished my catcher
he's ruined
the most exciting play in baseball.
Listen, he's Dave Roberts' cabana boy. He loves Dave Roberts. He defends him every single night during a game. He backs every single move he makes when he goes to the bullpen.
He's like the analytics. Said we should make that move. Roberts makes no decisions without someone upstairs telling him what to do. So,
well, same thing with the Giants. I mean, that's all of baseball now. That's the way it's going, though.
By the way, how about the fact that in one segment, Roberto has wished injury on Buster Posey and called the manager of the Dodgers?
I didn't wish injury. I just said did he break his ankle again? I mean. I'm still upset that the Buster Posey rule happened.
Do you know that happened 10 years ago now, right? It was 2011 when it happened.
Yeah, it's still bothering me.
You were talking Eric Gagne, though, which is kind of ironic for a Gagne Giants fan like to talk years, about right? a juicer.
Except we knew he was juicing. Y'all pretend like Gagne was all natural, throwing 102 after throwing 87 before that.
By the way, did you guys notice when Mark Pryor came out for mound visits as the Dodgers pitching coach that he was getting booed by some Cub fans? I heard boos as he was coming out. You talk about not being able to let it go. Dude, that was like 17 years
Man,
ago that he
I
was on the Cubs.
I love Cubs fans. And shouts out to New York Yankees fans. The way they gave it to the Astros is a beautiful thing.
I still don't get how they got away. The Astros got like if that happened in the NFL. I mean, Tom Brady has been at 4 games for like not giving his cell phone to Roger Goodell.
What did the Astros do wrong? What did they do wrong? I don't understand. What did they do
wrong?
Yeah,
nothing. Yeah. Nothing. I mean, they did beat the Dodgers, so in the end, it wasn't that bad.
But it's
just incredible. They just got away with it.
It's because Manfred's too busy drinking.
You throw our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
So if you're keeping track here, Hurricane Roberto has just blown through. He's called Rob Manfred a drunk, wished injury on Buster Posey. And then what was the other one? What was the other insult? Oh, you called Dave Roberts a moron. All right, yeah. So there's that. So
it's going
so
well. You're a big baseball fan.
You have a guy who has your hottest hitter on Sunday against the Brewers, and you bench him 2 games in a row, and you bring him back after 3 games.
Are you guys even allowed to watch Dodger games? Are they even on in LA yet?
Oh, come on, Dad. Yeah, they've gotten that figured out. I mean, it took a long time, but they figured it out.
What do you got to say, Rob Manfred?
The Dodgers to a World Series victory.
My dad has DirecTV. I was home last week. You can't watch Dodgers on DirecTV yet, can you?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, he lied to me then. He just didn't want me to watch the Dodgers.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Because the Dodgers were playing someone, and I was like, oh, there's no sports on. Let's put the Dodger game on. He's like, yeah, you can't watch on.
Oh, yeah, they're on now.
Yeah, you can.
He straight up lied to me so he didn't have to watch the Dodgers play.
Hey, that's a good lie.
By the way, it makes no sense that Jeff grew up in Los Angeles and he's a hated Giants fan.
Because my dad grew up in the Bay Area, so I am a Giants and I grew up Niners.
The Giants have always sucked, though. I'm going to be a Giants fan.
They won 3 World Series. Just like
you said, you grew up in the Giants. What a poor excuse of an LA native.
They went to the World Series in 2002. The Dodgers did nothing when I was a kid.
How did that go, by the way?
How did it go 2 years ago for you guys? I mean, like, what kind of argument is that? How did it go? Yeah, Giants lost. You guys lost the Astros. So part of it too, Danny, is that all my friends were Dodger friends, were Dodger fans. Like, it made it like even more of a prideful thing for me to, like, one time I went to a birthday party at Dodger Stadium when I was younger with a friend from elementary school, and I wore a Giants hat to meet Tommy Lasorda. I have a picture of myself with, like, everyone's wearing Dodger hats, and I'm wearing a Giants hat. Like, I was upset. It was a prideful thing.
Good for you.
I met Tommy Lasorda in a Giants hat.
Good for you.
And look, AT&T Park is beautiful. We had that run for 3 years with 5 years with the 3 World Series. So it's been a good run.
Can I just say something? I've been to AT&T Park, beautiful venue, one of the nicest stadiums I've ever been to. Those garlic fries are the most overrated thing I've ever eaten.
Yeah, the crab sandwich in center field is the best thing there, I think.
I mean, like, I was. Everybody said you got to get the garlic fries. Yeah, I got the garlic fries, and they stayed with me for 2 days. They were not good.
Sometimes when you eat them, they're too soggy.
Yes.
If you get them like crispy, like right when they get out of the fryer, they're really good, right? Because the garlic doesn't like soggy garlic fries aren't very good. It's sort of like an In-N-Out, right? In-N-Out sometimes the fries just like you're like,
yeah, yeah.
I need them a little crispier.
The garlic fries here at Gordon Biersch, the brewery here, they're good. They're better than they are at the stadium.
I cannot believe we're breaking down soggy garlic fries.
R.I.P. Dog.
I'm just saying, man. I went to a Giants game and everyone told me to get the garlic fries, and afterwards it smelled like I had been bobbing for corpses. It was bad. It was just terrible food.
Things are going so bad for the Dodgers, they lost Farmer John. It's just a bad time to Dodgers fans.
I
grew up listening to Vin Scully talking about Dodger dogs, and now you're going to talk about I can't deal with it. You guys should just end as a franchise. It's just done.
So there it is. That is the feud of all feuds that need to be addressed because it was simmering behind the scenes here. So we've accomplished nothing except insult a bunch of people here on the air. Jeff Schwartz, Jonas Knox, in for Clay Travis. It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we are going to give the proper respect to the most important position in the NFL. That's yours next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.
And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Coming up in, we will call it 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. If you are into throwbacks, if you are a throwback yourself, we have got just the conversation for you. That'll be happening here 10 minutes from now on FSR. So, Jeff Schwartz, you, I believe, break down the offensive line position as well, if not better, than anybody on the air or anybody on television, radio, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, longtime offensive lineman, but I feel like you give it the proper respect that it deserves, being the most important position on the field outside of quarterback.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try very hard at doing that. We had my show come out last week, Big Boys Club, Draft Academy. Over 3 million views on social media so far, so people seem to be enjoying it, which is pretty fun. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, listen, and I say that because the draft came and went, and there's a lot of people talking about the quarterback positions. We've talked about projected starters week one or whatever. But just overall, when you see some of the offensive linemen that have gone where, we've seen reactions that have run every spectrum. First of all, I have no idea why the Bengals passed up on Penei Sewell. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
They just want to be the Bengals.
It feels like it. Rashawn Slater going to the Chargers. You had the Bears taking Tevin Jenkins. The Raiders are getting buried for the Alex Leatherwood pick by a lot of people. But overall, best pairing that you have seen offensive line-wise in the draft, and which team would you give the credit to for making the right move?
Well, I thought Rashawn Slater for the Chargers was a slam dunk, right? They needed a left tackle. That was their biggest need on their team. And they got the best pass-protecting left tackle without having to trade up at 13. I mean, that's how you want to do it, right? The guy that you need the most, the position of need drops to you at 13. So they have the blindside protector for Herbert. That was huge for them. I thought the Vikings did a really good job. They got Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech after trading back, so got some value in that. And they got Wyatt Davis, the offensive lineman from Ohio State, later in the second round. And Wyatt Davis was probably a first-round pick before he came back to school, got a little hurt this year. So you had a lot of value in those two picks. Both guys, offensive, outside zone blocking guys, they're able to fit that scheme very well. But the winner of the offseason, really, for the offensive line was the Chiefs, right? I mean, they went from their offensive line being a huge concern to adding Orlando Brown, Joe Tooney, Austin Blythe, and in the draft got themselves Creed Humphreys, a center from Oklahoma, who's a great fit. And then I think the best pick of possibly the entire draft of any position, there's really two of them in my opinion. One is Elijah Molden to the Titans. I can't believe he went 100. Like, that just is shocking to me. It's a very good pick for the Titans. And then I think Trey Smith from Tennessee went to the Chiefs in the sixth round. Trey Smith is a upper second round talent out of guard, but he had some blood clotting concerns from blood clots he had a couple years ago in college, and so he went much lower than expected. I mean, that's a first round, a day one starter type player you got in the sixth round. That's a huge steal. So the Chiefs have completely rebuilt their offensive line, and if you're playing them, I don't know how you beat them. Right? I mean, the issue is get to Pat Mahomes. The Chiefs have fixed that issue pretty soundly.
And when you look at the if we just go at the first offensive lineman that was taken, Penei Sewell going to the Lions, there's no way the Lions thought. I mean, we heard the rumors circulating that Ja'Marr Chase was going to go to the Bengals. But if you're the Lions, seeing him sitting there going, hey, man, I know we're in a rebuild, but that's a hell of an offensive lineman to rebuild around. The Lions have got to be ecstatic that he was sitting there at 7 when they picked.
Oh, did you see the reaction afterwards?
Yes.
And like, they're basically just like they picked up Martha Ford and just like gave her a big hug. Like they were so excited. The thing about Penei, and I've talked about this many times, it's just his age, right? He's 20 years old. Like, he's got so much room for growth, and he's already so good. And Dan Campbell obviously wants to set a physical tone for his program, and there's no better guy to do that in your first draft than get Penei Sewell. And even with their second pick, they took Levi Onwuzurike from Washington, who his quote was like, I just want to F people up. Like,
yes.
I just want to make it bad for offensive linemen. So, I think those – a lot of teams – I felt really, for the most part, a lot of teams did a really good – the Bears got Tavon Jenkins in the second round, big physical offensive line from Oklahoma State, who had a first-round grade by most. They just ended up you know, kind of end up falling to where it needed to be. And a lot of teams got the guy.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, and I figured it was our duty to give the offensive linemen some love. You know, offensive linemen they deserve some of the love, and it felt like, especially with that draft where you had so many quarterbacks and skill position guys that were going to be coming off the board early, that you were going to get value at other positions later on in the draft, and so to see some of these guys get drafted, and who's the guy from Wisconsin, Whitewater?
Yeah, Quinn Meinerz. Yes, yeah. he's my dude. I love Quinn. He's so on the show too.
So basically, he just trains in the woods and picks up trees and logs and all these other strongman competition stuff and throws them around.
Well, so that's his uncle's resort. It's an island in the middle of a lake. And so the only way to get things around the island is for him to pick them up.
Good for him, man. And so that's
what he's doing.
And he shows his belly off at Senior Bowl week. Good for him, man.
That was his thing of the gut, man. That's the way he practiced. He used to have his shirt just up around his pad so you could see his gut all the time.
Yeah, it's a good move. Everybody needs some sort of a branding opportunity, and that was his.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.